Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 171, Fort Devens Game Day 2016. So welcome everyone, new and longtime listeners alike. If you're new, you're in for a treat. And if you're a longtime listener, you're still in for a treat, but you know the routine. So before I go any further, I want everyone to know we're going to talk about a lot of things in this episode, and I don't expect you to remember them all. It's a lot. You're painting, you're commuting, you're exercising. You're not going to remember this. You're not sitting at a computer. Don't worry. Just remember one thing, the link to the show notes, which is wargamingrecon.com/WR171. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR171. So for this episode, I am joined by two amazing individuals. One of them you know and one you don't. So I'm going to start with the one you know, and that is my frequent co-host. I'm talking about the one and only Mr. Mike Payne. Mike, how are you today?
I'm good, Jonathan. Thank you.
So thanks for asking. I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm happy that you're joining us here, partly because you actually went to the Fort Devens Game Day, but also because, like me, you know our guest for this episode.
I sure do.
So I am referring to the one and the only Mr. Adam Carrier. Adam, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How are you, John?
I'm good. Adam, I'm happy you're here because you're the one who first told me about the Fort Devens Museum Game Day. And unfortunately, I've never been able to go, but I know you've been this year and you went in 2015, wasn't it?
I've been to both of them. This is only the second year of the event, and I have been to both. Organized by Peter Lowett.
It's a good group of people who've done it. I've seen the Facebook listings for it and all the people who've done events at this year, and I've seen last year too. And I know it's a good group of people, but it's one that I think not everyone's going to be familiar with. Even if you live in the area, it might have passed you by. So why don't we kind of just dive in and talk a little bit about what the game day is, when it happened. I mean, for this year, it's already over, but I presume they're going to do it in 2017. So let's just get into some of the who's and the what's and the why's and the how's and that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, the gentleman who took point this year was Peter Lowett, as I mentioned. I believe he was in charge last year as well. Is that the kid? Do you remember, Mike?
I think so. Matter of fact, I'm wondering why I thought there was already two that I missed. But
no, last year was the first one. This is the second.
Yeah, well, that's good. I only missed one. I thought I missed two. So I guess I feel a little better about that.
Yeah. And it was organized just to bring recognition to the museum. There, Fort Devens, of course, closed a number of years ago. It was a long time military fort in Massachusetts, probably the most important one in Massachusetts for a long time. It had been active since, I want to say, the late 19th century. I know it was active as of the First World War. They have a great little museum there that doesn't get a lot of traffic, like a lot of little museums. And they were being creative and thinking, hey, we're a military base. Why not have wargamers come by and show military games off and use our space? Because we have enough space to do that. And so we were right in there among the exhibits, which is pretty cool as a venue.
I would have liked to see more of the museum. By the time I got all wrapped up, I went back in and they were all done closing up the door. So I'm going to have to go back just to check it out. Yeah. Pretty nice stuff in there.
I saw some of the photos, and it looked like they had some really cool uniforms and displays and dioramas and some of that kind of stuff, which is always of interest to me, especially because it's one of historic forts in Western Massachusetts. It's from World War One, like right near the tail end of World War One, and it stuck around for quite a long time. It's still active for the reserves, I think it is.
There's a little area for the reserves, but the rest of the fort's getting changed over to commercial property, stuff like that.
Yeah, I believe it's officially closed, but I may be wrong about that, but I think it's officially closed. There is some National Guard presence out in that area, but I think the fort officially closed in like the 90s.
That sounds right.
Yeah. But it has a great little museum, a lot of information on the units of Massachusetts National Guard, of other U.S. Army units there. Also really good display on the German POWs that were housed there during both the First and Second World War. I'd be willing to bet it's the only place in North America you can see a Prussian Guards uniform on public display from the First World War.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't see that.
Yeah. There's a photo of it on my blog from the little review of the museum I did last year.
We'll have to take a look.
Yeah.
So why don't you let listeners know the actual date that they had it this year? Because I don't know if they stick to around the same date or the same month, or they kind of move things around every year, or what they'll be doing for 2017.
I don't know that we know what they're doing yet for 2017. It was a different date last year. It was in September last year, and it was October this year. So October 22nd, if my brain is recalling the date correctly. Is that sound right, Mike?
Yeah, I think so. That was the problem with me last year, is I had something going on the date that they were running it, because I would have liked to have gone.
Now, is this an all-day kind of thing, or half a day, or how do they tend to work the gaming?
Well, we were able
to, we were there most of the day.
Yeah. It went from, officially opened at, I want to say, 10 o'clock. We could get there to set up as of 9 and ran till about 3 or 3:30. I had to bail early, unfortunately, due to a personal commitment, but I was running the game till about 2:30 and went really well. It looked like we had a good decent amount of foot traffic and good number of gamers who showed up.
Yeah, I think someone said there were at least 70 people that came in and out.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a really good number.
I had a great crowd at my game.
Your game's always filled. You always get those
people. Well, not always, but I had a pretty good crowd. Gabriel Landowski came down and kind of took the thing over, which was great. He had some wallflowers standing around. They didn't want to play. And he got them all going. He says, "Hey, roll some dice for me." And next thing you know, they're all playing. It went great. Had a blast. Same game you played, Jonathan.
Well, why don't we talk about admissions for a little bit? Because you mentioned about there being 70 plus people who come. In order to go, you, of course, had to travel there. And since it's one day, you don't have to worry about staying over, which is a nice thing. But in order to actually get in, was there a copay or a ticket system?
100% free. And the museum is free on a regular basis, too. So if you're in the Devons area and you have a half hour to kill, an hour to kill, it's well worth doing it. They're open every weekend. I think they're just open on the weekends. And it's free admission. They ask for donations, but they don't require any money to go in and look around.
So, yeah, they had some cookies and cakes and coffee and stuff. And, you know, I tossed a couple of bucks out for my coffee that I spilt all over my game. But,
yeah, that's how they were making their money. They sold us pizza, cookies, and donuts.
Yeah, they brought some pizza back. Yeah. It was nice. They did a great job.
They did.
Adam, is that something they did last year, too? Instead of charging admission, they had refreshments and that kind of thing where.
Yes, they did. And they're really great hosts. I mean, you know, free admission for the public, the game masters. We each got a mug and a challenge coin, which was pretty awesome as gifts.
Yeah, those were nice.
I love challenge coins. They're a great little piece of military memorabilia. And you know, they had, they ordered a pizza and they had sodas and coffee and just asked you to throw in a few bucks. So that was pretty cool.
That's a good way to run it because, I mean, it, obviously it must have cost them something, I presume, to get the location. Maybe not a whole lot, but, you know, something for that. The time to plan it, of course, food and all that sort of thing. But if you want to get people to come to these kind of things and you have that high barrier, that high cost to actually getting the door, I think fewer people are going to be actually willing to take a chance if they've never done it before. And for a new venue and a new game day, that's a hard threshold to get past.
Yeah, no, I think they did a good thing. And I have to say their donation jar was pretty full when I left at about 2:30. So I think they made all, I think they got what they wanted out of it as a venue in terms of their increasing their visibility and 70 guests through the door. That's got to be a pretty good day for them, I would think.
Yeah, I hope so. I'd like to see them keep doing it because I had a lot of fun, a really good time.
Yeah.
And I want to see the museum again too.
Yeah. It's a good venue. I would put on another game next year, assuming I can do the weekend they pick.
So both of you ran games, right, for this year? Mike, you ran your Hankai, and Adam, you ran Battle of Somewhere, Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, it's a battle vaguely based on the first day of Gettysburg, but with a different Confederate force. Basically, I put Longstreet up front instead of... I think it was Ewell who was actually up front, so that it was the actual Confederate troops I have could be put on the board. Not quite in the exact location, although a location that if you look at the map, you go, that looks a little like Gettysburg.
But I wanted to, great title.
Yeah, I wanted to make it sort of a what-if scenario that people who... you know, knew the battle would see things that were familiar, but not that, you know, they would be expecting, oh, okay, I'm going to do this and this will definitely happen. And, you know, that they would have particular expectations.
One of the criticisms I often hear about historical wargaming is that people say, okay, I'm going to play, let's take Gettysburg, right? I'm going to play Gettysburg. I know what happened. I know what they did. I know what I would do to make it different and to win or whatever, or to succeed. Mm-hmm. So why the heck am I going to want to play a historical war game? And to me, I don't have a great response to them because I'm like, well, because you do, because it's fun. But I think during what you did, Adam, is a great way around it. Or like what Mike, what you do with Battle of Shanghai, how you've taken the historical Shanghai and you've, you know, stepped it out and you've added your own flair to it so that it gives it almost infinite replayability. So that it's a little bit different, it's familiar enough for people, whether it's Gettysburg or whether it's Shanghai, but also different enough so that they don't have that expectation of, okay, it has to go step one, step two, step three, step four to inevitable conclusion. Whereas it's, well, it can be step one and step two, but it'll be anything different, whatever I want. And so I think people like that. And I think it's a really smart move for GMs to do, especially if you're doing something like this where you might get maybe a younger crowd who's coming, or you might get people who aren't as in depth, maybe, with the historical wargaming. If you're getting someone like me, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, this is cool playing the historical wargame, but it's nice to have something a little bit different to kind of tease you and then serve as that gateway drug to get into it.
Well, I prefer not to think of it as a drug, but...
well, hey, it might be legal soon. Occasion. That's all I'm saying.
The reason I did it that way was in part because of that objection, although when I hear it, my thought is particularly with a battle like Gettysburg, I'm like, well, there were so many moments where that battle turned on one person making a snap decision or not making a snap decision. If you know, really read in depth about the book, you know, beyond, say, a popular novel like Killer Angels, which is a novel, it's not a history, or a movie like Gettysburg, you will realize, wow, there were, you know, did Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain save the flank? Yes, he did. There were about 50 men like him in any given hour on Gettysburg that made decisions like that, save the day. So you have infinite number of ways that things can change, which is one of the things I love about replaying historic battles, is that you can really affect history. And there were people who had those same opportunities to affect history that you have.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it be cool to win the Battle of Waterloo as Napoleon, or or win Gettysburg as General Lee. You know, I used to run Gettysburg, and it went both ways. I had both sides win. It was a lot of fun, and I kept it simple, of course. But I like to do the introductory stuff, but the real historical stuff was really cool too. I like it all. You know, I don't know if everybody feels the same way I do. Yeah, it's just fun to play. I mean, we didn't even play Adam. We ran games and we still had a good time. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I as a game master, my feeling is if I'm actually playing, then I'm doing something wrong. I should, I might, direct people, but really I should be stepping back. And I've fortunately had two great Confederate players and three great Union players that, just jumped in and, they needed some advice and some help with, the rules or how the system worked. For the most part, they just dove right into their roles and their characters and, really went for it. I mean,
who won? Which,
we unfortunately, one of those cases where it was very close to, one way or the other, another, we had time for a couple more turns. I declared it a Confederate victory, although it was very marginally a Confederate victory at that point. The Union still had guys who could have pulled it out. You could have argued it either way.
Nobody had to hang their head low then.
No, it was, one flank, the Confederates were clearly winning. On the other flank, the Union was clearly winning. The center was a toss-up. So it would have been interesting to see how it could have gone if we had infinite time. Of course, if we'd had more time, I would have liked to have thrown in some troops on both sides and seen how that affected things as well, because I had extra troops just in case we got to a point like that.
Well, you'll get a chance to run it again and see what happens, right?
Of course, yeah.
Sure.
Let's talk about some of the other games that were available, because I know there wasn't a lot of games, but there was actually a nice variety. So there was a Chain of Command game, right? Rob Walter's run. It was 28.
No, that actually got canceled last second.
That's a shame.
Yeah, he didn't make it.
I've heard so much great stuff about Chain of Command, and I was hoping you guys were going to be able to say wonderful things about what you had seen with it.
Well, I've played it. It's a good game. I'll play it again.
Yeah,
but we didn't play it that weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. It's not personally one of my favorites, but it's not a bad game.
I've heard it's a little more cinematic.
I don't have any favorites.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Okay. Well, and then of course, Adam, there was your Battle of Somewhere, Pennsylvania. You did 15mm Longstreet. And then Pete Landry, he did his Wings of War, World War One, right, in 15 mil?
Yeah, he did. That was right next to me.
Popular as it always is.
And that's the pre-painted, right, Wings of War, where they melded the two different lines, and you can do a World War II.
I believe he did that, yes.
Got everything over there.
It's been so long since I played that, but it is such a good game, as long as you can get it in your head. Just like if you play X-Wing, right, it's the same thing. When you move, you're actually moving like one or two moves in advance. And when I'm using those stupid things and I'm like, I'm doing a hard right or a hard left or whatever, I'm thinking, I need to be here. And then I always get it wrong compared in my head to what it is on the table. And so
I'm a loud pilot.
I'm like, I'm going the other way. It never ends well for me. But I have a blast.
I'm way Corrigan.
Yeah. I'm more Snoopy than the Red Baron.
Hey, yeah, same here.
There are worse things to be than Snoopy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, those games are fun, though.
You're always on top of your doghouse typing your novel. It was a dark and stormy night. Clack, 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 clack. And let's see, Greg Simcoe did his 28mm shot practice, right? Great Northern War.
Yes. Actually, that one might not have happened either. I didn't see it.
I don't think it did. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure my buddy Rich came down to play that. And it didn't. I don't think it came off. I saw him playing your game, man.
Yeah, Rich was playing. Yeah, Rich was Generals Hood and Longstreet in my game. So.
Oh, was he? I didn't even get a chance to talk to him about that yet.
Yeah.
But, that's surprising. With 70 people coming, that two games ended up getting canceled for whatever reason. That's really odd.
Most of the people didn't play.
Oh.
A lot of people just came to gawk, and they had no clue. Yeah.
Because I had six games on my list, and two of them where both of you guys, two got canceled.
Four games went off.
And then I have the Deerfield Grade 1704 with Dave Valentine using the On Guard rule.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Dave's got a nice little setup over there. He had a full table. Pete Lowett played that game.
Yeah.
So did Mike Jones play.
Well, Adam, you've been talking about this game with me for a little bit.
Yeah, you played that, Adam, right?
Yeah, I helped him play test it, and I've been sort of his sounding board for ideas. Plus, you know, some of the civilians were mine as well that were on that table. So he and I have been working on it. It's based off of the actual historic raid in Deerfield, Massachusetts, which basically it was a snowy winter, and the natives slipped men over the parapet, the stockade, because the snow was piled so high. Might remind you of a winter we had a couple of years ago, where that could easily have happened. And, you know, they snuck in and got to the gates and opened up the gates, and in came, you know, the raiding force of about, 300 or so, natives and, French. So what Dave's done is he's imagined that, you know, there was a unit of militia that had been in the town a couple of, weeks before that. And then they'd gone home because they thought, well, it's too bad. The weather's too bad. There's no way the French will come out and raid us. There's no way the natives will. So the militia went home and left the town to itself. And he's kind of imagined a situation where what if the militia had stayed and, you know, were alert and at least had a chance to, you know, cut off that group that snuck in. It's played really well so far using the On Guard rules. So,
yeah, it looks great. I'm going to get a chance to try that sometime.
Yeah, you got to get to the Relentless Dragon some Thursday and join us.
Yeah, it's just I'm getting up too early for work lately. They'll lay me off soon. Mm-hmm. I'll show up once the snow hits the ground. Yeah. But
I've never heard anyone sound more happy about the idea of getting laid off.
Well,
like they're going to lay me off soon. Then I'll be there. And it's like.
If my wife was here, I wouldn't even have said that.
I was going to say, John, you don't know too many guys in construction then, because I've heard that tone before.
I got a buddy who's does masonry work, and he always he loves when he gets done for the year, partly because he wants a free time, but he hates it because he doesn't budget his money well. So like halfway through December, he has no money. He can't buy groceries. He can't do anything. And so then he's like, "Arr."
Sounds familiar. I would like to work through the winter, even if it's 2 or 3 days a week. It keeps you going, you know?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
I think you just need depends on how busy things are. You know, a purpose, you get out of the house, and you go, whatever. Otherwise, like if it was me, I would be in my pajamas all day long and just kind of like shuffling around. And be like, okay, here we go. That's the name
of right now, I'm in bed, but I'm in bed by 9:30 right now. The longer I'm laid off, the later I stay up. Next thing you know, I'm staying up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, on Facebook or something stupid like that.
Yep.
I can't even fathom. I'm in bed like 7:30 or 8 at the latest.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought I went to bed early. Wow, Jonathan.
Well, I tell you,
with a young kid.
Yeah, it's those little ones. they run you ragged. It's
yeah. Wow.
I'm good. But
yeah, those are the old days for me. My kids are all grown up now.
Yeah.
So good luck to you, Jonathan. No wonder you can't pay
attention. Well, exactly.
Yeah, you do.
I was looking, and I do have it handy. So I was looking around the other day, and I happened to come across this, and I was like, this is the last time I painted anything. And I painted this last year. Next week last year. And I did this. When I was live streaming for about like 4 hours, it's a Flames of War of all things, which is ironic. Fuel dump marker.
And
for people who may not realize, it's ironic because Flames of War is the only game I have an army fully painted for, and I don't play the game. Like I refuse to play Flames of War. I like the models. Well, and that's the thing. I think I will. But he's like, I got all these tanks. I got infantry. Like, things are in the base really nicely. Woodland scenic crap all over the place. It sits downstairs in the basement, gathering dust, waiting. It's like the one thing that of all the things I want to play. Like, I don't have any Hail Caesar stuff painted. I don't have Black Powder stuff painted. But I got that Flames of War army that I'm never going to use. That's painted.
You'll use them. You'll use them.
The spray painted red and blue Hail Caesar Army is still in the not yet made.
Well, I'll tell you, and you might not be. Of course, I don't have it. I wasn't expecting to talk about this, but I'm shifting with that. So, listeners may know that in the past I've talked about this, and if not, well, I think you're in for a potential treat for how you can get entry level into Hail Caesar. So, and you should appreciate this, Adam, because you like this guy. So there's a game out there put out by Mr. Sam Mustafa, and he has his...
Aurelian.
Yes. But instead of playing his game, which would probably make more sense, what I'm doing, and what our mutual friend Adrian, who's been on the show before, who's been a guest in everything, what we're doing is we bought some of Mr. Mustafa's army decks, and we will be using those to play Hail Caesar, at least to learn it and to get used to it and everything. And for me, that'll probably be as far as I ever get, unless someone wants to volunteer and paint all my crap for me. But otherwise, but they're beautifully done. And his wife is a very talented artist. She designed and did the illustrations and everything, and the great uniform base size. It's a deck of cards. I mean, they're gorgeous. So they're on Drive-Thru RPG or Game Vault. There'll be a link in the show notes if I remember to do it. And you can get them in the dirt cheap for, like, you get two armies out of them. So he has Romans, Persians, Gauls, I think, and it must be Carthaginians, is my guess. And so
are they on playing cards?
They are. I mean, the custom ones.
I have some of those.
It's a card stock. It's like $20 for an army deck. And I think he's going to expand it. Because I was listening to him on another show. I don't remember what show it was, but another show. And he was talking about it. And I guess he gets asked a lot. That might be it. And he gets asked a lot to expand the range. And I think he's thinking of expanding it to include a few more armies. But he doesn't want to do like a whole blowout on it because he just kind of figured it was like a one shot and then he's done and moving on to something else. But so the army. I mean, he had the sci-fi game he did too. And he actually has a textbook that's coming out because he does, you know, actual academic work and so forth.
Right.
But
you should refer to him as Dr. Mustafa, but still.
So the army deck, that's what I'm doing. So instead of my 172nd scale hat stuff, which I might end up offloading if it doesn't actually get painted, but I have these army deck things, well, one anyway, and that's what I'm going to start using so I can actually play. Because Hail Caesar is a great rule system from what I've read, and I've looked at the rules, and I played one game at the Hug Bunker game day. And I loved it. It, you know, half the battle is just actually getting in and playing it, though.
Yeah, I've played it a little bit. Yeah. It's fun. It's a good system. Not much different than Black Powder.
Well, and that's one of the things I like about that. And also one of the things I like about Sam Mustafa is that he kind of has, they both of them, they have these core mechanics that they tend to adapt and modify a little bit, but they tend to rely on. And then they expand on that and add flavor and a little extra stuff for whatever the time period is that they're doing. So, like, the people who did Black Powder, they took their core hand-to-hand combat kind of stuff and did Hail Caesar, and then they made modifications for Pike and Shot. And Sam Mustafa's done it for just about every genre you can think of.
Yeah, his games. Although Sam's games don't necessarily switch over quite as smoothly as the Priestly, you know, Warlord games games do. Maurice and Longstreet, for example, probably have as much that's different between the two of them as they do in common. And ditto probably with Blücher is a completely different game. Although you could grab those cards too and play Black Powder with them. You could get whole Napoleonic armies that way.
That's true.
That's right. You could do that.
I think with him, it's kind of like he does have the core that he's relied on, but then he has that whole evolution because you have... Yes. All these years that have come in between, and I think he's built on what he's learned from each game so that he's done things a little differently. And like with these newer ones,
absolutely.
He had that editorial, I think it was in War Games, Soldiers and Strategy several years ago, where he was shocked that people, you know, don't paint anymore. And so that's the whole evolution of the armies, by the army card deck things. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, once you have those decks, you don't have to play anybody's rules. You can make up your own or try a different set of rules. You can do whatever you want with them.
Yep.
They're your armies, just like if you painted them.
Yep.
Right on the nose.
Absolutely.
Well, that's one of the things. People ask me why I spent so much money on, and you guys might not remember it, but the Wizards of the Coast War at Sea collectible minis game. And like
I've got a few of them.
I spent more money than
I got a bunch of that stuff. Admit.
But those they're actually really good ships generally, except for the first set, which are a little banana boaty. But the rest are pretty good. You can use them for just about anything, and that's what I figured.
I bought all those because I wanted to do a big pirate game, which I'm probably never going to do. But I'll dump the idea on you. You can do it.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure. I feel the love. Sure, I'm always willing to help. I'll play.
That's my line.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, I think I liked about those is that, you know, you have all these boats ready to go. It's pretty nice. You know, I have a bunch of them too. We probably could do whatever we wanted with those.
You could?
And we should. We should. Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is throw a blue cloth out there, take a couple of hills from my Gettysburg game for islands, and we're good to go. Let's go. You know?
Absolutely.
What rules do you want to use?
Well, I think you should come up with something and then start to work on it.
Take me about 2 minutes.
And once it's all ironed out, it can be coming to a game day near us in the near future.
We iron it out when we play it. That's how we do it. You know, every game we play is a play test.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, that was a play test over there at Fort Devils. They were all play tests.
Yep, it's true.
So speaking of
especially
Fort Devils,
my games.
What advice would you give to people who want to run a game next year at Fort Devils? For either
just offer to run a game. They'll find a spot for you. I looked like they had more room if they needed it. So
yeah, we could have easily.
If somebody wants to run a game.
Yeah, we could easily fit in the extra games. My thought would be look at what people have done and try and come up with something that's unique. Because I'll probably run American Civil War there again because they like having something that was American Civil War. You know, but there's definitely room for a World War II game. There'd be, you know, they've done a World War I land combat there before. You know, try and find something that's going to be a little different from what everybody else is doing. That's my thought. I know that, you know, I knew right away when they were organizing it, okay, Mike's going to have his game in 28 millimeter. I know there's a couple of guys here who are going to do some World War II stuff. You know, what's the need here? So my mind was we want American military history. It's the American military location. Let's do the Civil War. So that was my thought process.
Well, that worked.
Yep.
Nice looking game too, by the way, Adam.
Thank great. You, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, was looking Mike, I would have loved to play.
You and I have talked about this before, Mike, with how I feel kind of overawed with the idea of running something at an event like Huzzah that nothing I could do would be good enough for it because like Huzzah for me is just the quality of games there are so good that me running something is nowhere near that high quality. So for me, I'm hesitant for something like that. But other events and cons where it doesn't – the quality is still there, but it doesn't feel as daunting to me for some reason. It has like an easier access point, I think. And so I know some people are probably going to feel their way about the Fort Devons game day. They're going to be like, oh, it's at Fort Devons, and it's this thing, and they've been doing it, and people do really good games, and – like, I'm not good enough to run a game there. So, like, what would you guys say to someone like that? Who's like, I
would say you are good enough to run it. I'd say you are good enough.
Absolutely.
You're good enough to run a game anyway. If you want to run a game, run it, you know?
Absolutely. And here's the other thing. We're in very low, you know, single-digit, unintimidating numbers right now for they've been running it for a while. Next year will be the third annual game day. So, you know, until you get into double digits.
That's the big one.
Intimidated by numbers. The other thought would be, you know, if you're intimidated because I don't think my armies look good enough, I don't think my terrain looks good enough. Well, you know, you can always cheat. For example, Mike really likes to set up a table, but he doesn't necessarily, you know, need to run a game on it every session. So I borrowed his table to run Frostgrave at Huzzah, and that worked out brilliantly. So find somebody, team up. You want to run a Civil War game, John? I'll loan you my minis and terrain. No problem.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. You can set it up for two sessions, right?
Yeah. Reach out to the community if you don't feel comfortable doing it yourself, and there'll be somebody out there who'll be like, I'd love to partner with you.
Hey, you know what? You know what? Get off the subject just a tiny bit. One thing I missed last year that I really would have liked to see was Leo ran his baseball game, but it was the Red Sox against the Fort Devens team. He recreated that. Because I guess the Red Sox did play the Fort Devens team back in the 40s, and that was the game they played. I would have loved to play it. I don't know who won. I think it was the Red Sox. But that would have been cool. I would have liked to have played that.
Although the Fort Devens team might have had a good shot because, you know, a lot of the best players got drafted.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if Ted Williams was there. He might have been out there in the war theater somewhere. Yeah. Doing something.
Does he still run the baseball game anymore? Because it wasn't at the Hobby Bunker game day either.
No, it wasn't. But I think he's taken it to his. I haven't talked to him lately. He's been busy and I've been busy. We used to talk almost daily, but. I think he's going to Carnage. I'll find out what's going on up there.
Yeah. By irony, next week. He is actually one of the project managers on the new building going up in front of the office where I work. So I've run into him my lunchtime block a couple of times.
Oh, that's he told me he sees you once in a while. That's right. I forgot.
I tell you, I wanted to play in it last time at the Hobby Bunker, and I thought, okay, he did it before. It's going to be here. I'm going to play in it because it looks really good, and everyone says really good things about it. And I go, Adrian and I, and it wasn't there. And I was disappointed.
One thing he said
he's a busy guy.
And the other thing he said is he doesn't like to kind of like, how did he put it? He doesn't like to take up space at the events. If he did the Fort Devens thing one year, he'll take a year off from it, because that needs a lot of space. So I think that's one of his concerns, is he doesn't want to wear out his welcome with this, big Fenway Park that takes up, half the convention floor, because it is a pretty big setup.
It's huge and it's gorgeous though. It's total eye candy.
Lovely.
Jesus. Geez, now you're making me feel bad. I take up so much room.
You will go, Mike.
That's not true, though. I don't feel bad at all. when they get tired of me, they'll let me know.
We'll have to make a scarlet letter of some sort for you and just leave it at your table at all the events. the number two and a B, too big.
Mike, don't be like Mike.
Whenever you decide not to do huzzah, they're going to have to put up a table with, a cutout of you next to it.
Feel
like huzzah without you.
If I don't do huzzah, it's going to be something that's out of my control. Because I don't want to miss that one. I don't want to miss any of the ones I go to. Even Fort Devens, that killed me that I couldn't go last year. Yeah. I don't remember what the reason was, but I guess it must have been something pretty important because there's no way I would miss something if I could do it.
Mike, how big is your table for Hang High? Smaller. At Devon's, how big was it?
I ran the reduced size game, which is when I run the Battle of Hang High, it really only takes up half or a third of the table. But I use the whole table because I got it out there, so the Japanese have to go a little further. Tough luck for them, You've been the Japanese, haven't you, Jonathan?
Well, that's how I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but that's how I happened to win last time at the Hobby Walker game.
Right. 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 Of course, you were playing on a smaller table. It might have been a little different.
Well, that's true. Right. And a certain GM was really nice and let me come in on any table edge at any turn I wanted, a little at a time. So I'm just...
Yeah, he's a great guy like that.
I love that GM. He's just fantastic. I was so happy he wins all these awards.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how that happens. The
bribery, isn't it?
I thought you slipped someone a 20. I did. I was like,
wow.
Really?
Wow, you guys are letting everything out. If I can have my way, as a matter of fact, Gordon up at Adler Hobby is going to do a little convention pretty soon, a one-day convention.
Yep.
And he said he doesn't have the tables. So I just snagged a few sheets of plywood from the job I'm on because they said they didn't need them. And I'm going to try and drag along a 16x5 table that I'm going to build. We'll see how that goes. I got all the material. I just got to get it all together. We'll see.
Wait, I'm confused.
More crap to put in my truck.
I'm confused. So he's doing a one-day gaming convention, and he doesn't have table space, or he doesn't have enough table space?
He's got the space, but he doesn't have enough tables.
Okay.
He's a little light on the tables. So he asked me if I could come up with some tables, and I just decided, well, you know what? I wanted to build a table that if I ever get that space in my carriage house done so I can run a game here once in a while. So this is an opportunity to do both. I'll build this table, maybe. And we might end up playing on the floor. Who knows? But
Are you just going to bring like sawhorses and put it across the sawhorses? Or like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm gonna build 3 sawhorses. And I'm going to make 2 8-foot-by-5 sections that I'm going to screw together. There'll be 4x8. When I get them there, I'll screw on that extra 1 foot. And I'll lay them across 3 sawhorses. And I'll have a 16x5. And I got a little folding table here that I'm going to bring to put all my junk on. You know, the off-table stuff.
Yeah.
So kind of a project. Well, we'll see. I haven't done it yet. I was gonna offer to paint your Roman army for you, but I would never do it. You know, it would just be an offer. What's that, Adam?
I said, so I guess we can not plan on John taking part in the Analog Hobbies painting contest this winter yet again, huh?
Yeah, you could probably count on that.
You know what? No, I'm not letting this. No, hold on. Because, this is what it is. So last year, Adam, you told me about this thing, and I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. And I had every intention, seriously, of painting something, probably one thing, but I was going to paint something for it. And then I was like, okay, I'm too busy. I can't this year. And I mean, my wife is pregnant, and who knew what we're going to have with winter and so forth. And so then for this year, I was like, oh, do you know what? I'm going to surprise everyone, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to enter it, and I'm going to wait until I actually have something ready to paint. But then I'm going to enter it, paint something, and then announce on the show, hey, everyone, guess what I did, and actually do. But now that you're like, oh, here we go, I can't do that now because people are going to be like, well, we already heard it, so... You're right. Now I can't do it. But
wow.
But, well, unless you edit out.
Though, oh, come on.
No, but there's a wow. But here.
Boy, you really let yourself off the hook there, Jonathan.
Hey.
What do I
think? I'm a politician. I can talk myself out of anything.
Please don't throw me in that briar patch.
Good thing you're not trying to quit. Here.
So it's not going to be for the Analog Hobbies thing. But for the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon thing I'm doing, again, I wasn't planning on telling anyone yet, but I might as well because I've been outed. And I guess it's the time of year for this kind of thing to come out. So I am going to paint something for that. I'm going to do it as part of – I'm going to live stream it like I did with like this stupid thing for a game – probably for a game that I will never play. I will live stream myself painting something. And this was like 2 hours of my life, which is ridiculous. So,
sorry about this. It could be a Patreon or something.
So people will see it on YouTube Live, and they'll see that I painted something. Don't ask me what, because I haven't a clue.
Jeez, you're making me feel like getting in the painting room now.
So I will actually do. Bless you,
guys.
Wow.
I never knew I had this much electric power to infuse to people at this great distance.
Yeah, that's an allergy to painting figures.
And I thought I was bad.
Been fighting a cold all week, so.
Hey, it happens to all of us. So let's pretend.
We're not all the same.
Because as war gamers, we're good at pretending things. So let's pretend that I'm actually going to make it to. I know it's a stretch, but let's pretend I'm actually.
I thought we were going to pretend you're going to paint something.
No, we've moved past that because.
Okay, all right. What's next?
We don't have that large of an imagination, but we do have one. So let's pretend. That I'm going to make it to the Fort Devens Museum Game Day 2017.
I hope so.
Well, what one piece of advice, each of you, I wonder, what one piece of advice would you give me for something that I should do or I should avoid but something that would be advice so I can have the most amount of fun at this thing. Mm. Adam, do you want to start?
My advice would be get there a little early so you can, take a stroll around the museum, because it's got a really good collection of stuff, and including a lot of scratch-built stuff the gentleman on the board of trustees there. So my advice would be make sure you take some time to see the museum and talk to the people at the museum, because they've got a lot of really cool stuff there and knowledge and things worth checking out and seeing.
Yeah, those people are really nice, by the way. I really hit it off with all of them. They were just great. What a crew they got there.
Okay, so Mike, what is your one piece of advice for me?
Well, I guess for me to give you advice, I have to know whether you're coming to play or you're going to run a game.
Well, let's pretend I'm going to go and play.
Well, then play my game.
Well, I got to keep that wedding streak up, right?
Best advice I can give you, Jonathan. And if you don't want to play, if you've had your fill of my game, play Adam's game.
It's all really sound advice. So,
of course it is.
I don't give
anything but sound advice.
We'll go with that because we've been mean enough so far. So let's I'll extrapolate that and suggest that to anyone who's listening who ends up going or thinks about going. One, just go because you're going to enjoy yourself and you'll probably see these two fine gentlemen, even if you don't get to see me, but maybe you will. You'll see all three of us, maybe.
I hope they see us all. Yeah, hope we all go.
Some good games. And if you see me, you can make fun of me, too, because why the heck not? People do. Go for it. It's okay. I have extra padding here. You can't see, but I'm cushiony, so it bounces right off. It's good.
Yeah, if you roll good, nobody will make fun of you.
Oh, I never roll good. You know that.
Well, that's why.
Except for that one game at the Hobby Booger game. Okay, so before we move on to the mailbag section, what else do we want to say about the Fort Devens Museum game day? Anything?
Oh, I bet there's a bunch of things to say, but I'm drawing a blank. I don't know. I had a good time. I'd like to have it. I hope the kids that played in my game come again, and I think some of them probably will because they were terrific. What a wild bunch I had.
Okay.
I would just like to mention, Peter Lowett again. He put it together. He did a lot of the organizing. I helped him out with the sort of social media aspects of it, but he was the man behind the scenes who got stuff done. So, let's give him a little shout out and some credit for putting it together.
Yeah, Pete runs some great games too.
Well, you need someone like that, because otherwise everyone has these ideas, but nothing actually happens. So you need someone to be like, okay, this is actually going to happen. I'm going to do this and that, and not be afraid to step up and be like, okay, I'll be the one to do. So it's great when you have someone like him who can do that and who actually does it and does such a great job of it. So it's definitely worth for him to get the kudos and the props for it. And well, everyone can have someone like that near them.
Adam, you deserve a little credit too, because that Facebook thing that you did, I kind of lost track of when it was going off and all that. So if you didn't do that, I might have screwed it up and not even showed up. So I think you deserve a little credit just for getting me there, if nothing else.
Well, thank you.
Plus, Peter, it was a nice point of contact for everybody,
Yeah. Well, Peter needed some help. He was doing some traveling, and I was in a position where I was able to set it up, and I knew how to set it up, which, some of these gents run great games, but don't necessarily have all the technology side of things down. So I was able to help out with that. And,
made a big difference for me. I got the word out too. I can post stuff on the Barbarians page because you posted stuff there. And good way to contact everybody.
Yeah. Once an event's put up there on, on Facebook, it's easy for us to share it to all the groups, whether it's the Barbarians or Boston Train Band, Maine War Gamers Association, and New Hampshire's War Game Alliance, or any of these other groups that are out there.
Yeah, we got to get Havoc on Facebook. Those guys got to get on there somehow.
Yeah.
I might have to become a member so I can get them on there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Am I the only one who got an email from them about making sure I sign up and pay my dues and everything? And I thought the same thing. I was like, come on, guys, get onto some social media. I don't care what it is.
Right.
Get on there because it makes it easier. Just life is so much easier that way. I don't care if it's Facebook or Pinterest or Twitter or whatever this new Snapchat thing is, or any of these. Just like, come on, make life easy. Just do it.
Yeah.
Hey, something came to mind when you said the Paint the Army red and blue. Dave Donovan, who used to be the guy from Havoc, the Dave Awards named after him. That's one of the things he said to me when I was one of the few times I talked to him. He says, you know, just paint that army red and blue as long as you're playing. So go ahead, Jonathan. You know, let's get a game out there. It's just playing is what's really important. Don't worry about having it be perfect.
Absolutely.
That's somebody else's worry, you know?
So I'm going to move on to our mailbag, which is one of my favorite segments of the show because I say this all the time, and I don't know if people honestly believe me or not, but it's true. My favorite part of doing this whole podcast thing isn't sitting here and chatting with all of you, which is wonderful, but it's actually getting to spend time talking with all the listeners because I get to meet so many interesting people who are from all over the place and have all sorts of really cool experiences. And I like to share some of those through our mailbag section. So from Facebook, listener Jack said of episode 170, and that was the crafting a homebrew episode with my buddy Alex, who actually lives like 10 minutes down the road, which is really funny. And it's funny because we recorded via Google Hangout like we're doing now. And he's 10 minutes down the road.
I haven't finished listening to that one yet. I'm glad you reminded me. I'm only about halfway through it.
Well, and we talked a lot.
Yeah, you did. It was good. I'm definitely going to listen to the rest.
Well, I was surprised because we were talking, and then next thing I know, it's like an hour and a half. I was like, how the heck did that happen? Because really, I'm better with the timing. It just got away from me. But listener Jack said, quote, listened to the whole interview and thoroughly enjoyed hearing your thought process, etc. You sounded very professional too, unquote. Jack is not talking about me. He's talking about Alex. I want to make sure that was clear to people. Because Alex has this really great way about which he's gone creating his own homebrew dungeon crawl. And I know dungeon crawl is going to turn people off who aren't into that kind of thing, but he's made it in such a way so that you could then easily turn it into a roller two, you could turn it into Revoir, you could do all sorts of other stuff with it. So it's the same core mechanics, but again, it has a flavor for whatever time period.
I guarantee you I'll be stealing some of those ideas and using them in my game.
His game is so much fun. It's honestly, it's a blast. And I'm surprised he has trouble getting people to playtest it, but it is so good. So I'm excited about it. And Jack, thank you for writing in. And I'm glad that you liked the interview and that you enjoyed hearing Alex. And that's what it's all about, hearing really cool people say interesting things about stuff. I want to also take a point right now to make sure I thank our sponsor. So I am very delighted that we have this sponsor agreement with them. It is, of course, the Maine Historical Wargamers Association, and they are the people behind Huzzah! So, as everyone, I hope, knows, because you heard it at the beginning of the episode in the intro credits, and you hear it at the end at the exit credits, they are the sponsor of the show, and they're putting on Huzzah, which will be May 19th through the 21st, 2017, at the Portland Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. It's beautiful there, near the Maine Mall. You can go see lighthouses, great food, you play some awesome games. I'll be doing a live recording there. Mike won't be joining me because he'll be playing his game, I'm sure, right?
But I'm pretty sure, yep.
That's how it goes. It's okay.
Yep. So can't wait.
I think I'll probably snag Adrian again. I make him come and do it. It's like his penance for the year.
Yeah. Poor Adrian.
I know, poor guy. So he'll come and do that.
Miss some game he wants to play.
Well, do you know what? I tell him before the sign-ups come, I'm like, okay, we got to talk about what we want to play. And every year we're like, do we want to run something? Because we run things together because, again, I'm too chicken. And we both end up agreeing, okay, we're not good enough for Huzzah. And so we don't run anything. But then we talk about what we want to play. And I'm like, don't forget, you need to leave whatever this time slot is because you're coming on my show whether you want to or not. And so that's how it is. And so he comes on and then we do our thing. And I also want to make sure that I take a moment to thank everyone who supports the show on Patreon. Patreon's a really cool way that you can support the show. If you listen to it, you like what we do here, you can get in and become a supporter for as little as $1 a month. That gets you episodes before everyone else, and you get exclusive behind-the-scenes content. So I want to thank Dave and the Wargames at Battleshades Facebook group, Patrick, Chris Parker from DaveBattleGames.com, and Kyle from Vermont for their kind and generous support. And I also want to let people know that if they're interested, one of the backer levels, because there's a lot of these backer levels that I have, but one of them is $18 for the month, and it gets you a set of 6 custom Wargaming Recon dice. I mail them to you. They are designed by the one and only Christopher Rhett. And I have to say, I only have 1 set left.
Ooh.
After this is gone.
Wow. Chris makes some cool stuff, too.
He's going to make a new design for me. So this design will be retired. And it's going to be a new one. And I'm leaning for doing a change up here because some people were less than enthused. And I suppose I can understand why. But some people were less than enthused that some of these dice, it's mostly cut out on the side as opposed to some of them have a different design. So I'm going more with this other design where it's limited engraving on it. So you still see the logo, but it's not going to be as cut away. And someone who I'm not going to name because they give me a hard enough time about it as is, claimed that it's altered their probabilities. And maybe it does, but I tell you, in my experience, it doesn't alter them for me for the better. If anything, it alters it for the worse. So I don't think there's a point. But that might just be me.
And well, maybe you can get them altered to the better next time.
Well, hey, I would love fancy dice like that I could just always roll for a GM roll, and it could be whatever the heck I want it to be. And I don't have to worry. That'd be... I can't do that.
They make those. They're just blank on all sides. So just roll
them. Yes, they do.
One behind the screen.
The thing is, then they don't have the really cool Wargaming Recon logo, and so then I don't get really cool, fancy things out of it. And just people would just be rolling blank dice. But as we know, I am not that talented, artistically speaking. So Chris does such a great job on them, and I am delighted that he's done these for me, and he's going to make more once he gets his computer problems taken care of. And he and I will be working on that. And actually, speaking of Patreon and backer levels, we are just $16 away from reaching our next Patreon goal, which will then allow me to afford some new equipment, and then I can record with the guest in person. So that's pretty cool. So we're getting closer to that. And I want to make sure I take a moment also to talk to everyone about the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon that's going on. So right now we're doing some fundraising here at Wargaming Recon to try to help out Boston Children's Hospital. So for those of you who don't know, even though I've talked about it for years and we've talked about it for episodes by now, Extra Life is a charity that raises money so that kids who need medical treatment and their families can't afford to pay for it can get that medical treatment. These kids have things like cancer, leukemia, cystic fibrosis, really scary things, and no kid should be denied medical treatment. And no parent should have to say, no, I can't afford to give you what you need. So I think it's awful, and I think it's great that Extra Life is doing this, so that's why we are involved. And so far, we've raised $326 this year, and we have some eBay charity auctions going. So right now, the first one that I'm going to talk about is for the book Unbroken by Laura Hildebrand. It's a hardcover book. It's
I got to bid in on that.
I know you. I wasn't going to say, but I know you do.
I'm bidding on that thing. I'm going to get that. Doesn't really. Go ahead and bid it. I'm going to get it.
Bid me up. That's a challenge. Let's see how much we can make my pay for this thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep it going.
See if you can do it. See, let's see. Take the risk and see if I don't drop out on you.
Hey, Adam, have you read this? This is a great novel.
I've not read that yet. No,
it's a must read. True story. World War II flyer. This kid kind of came from everywhere USA, who was not the best of kids and best of students. It goes on to do really interesting things, and then ends up as a Japanese POW. Very, very cool. Great story. And they made a really good movie adaptation of it. So we get the book. The movie was good. And the auction for the book is at $3.25 American. It's a steal. It's hardcover. I got it sitting over here, actually. Really, really good. And it's in good condition. It's not like it's crap or whatever. It's really good condition. And someone's going to get a steal. It retails for $27 American. So
you can read it when I get done with it, Adam.
It's good. Good. You should auction it to Adam, and then with the money raised, you can pay up. So then the next one I want to talk about is for a set of 54 millimeter Andreas Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. They are donated by Dave Livesey from the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group. He has it up, and the current bid is £9.99 British pounds, 9.99, professionally painted by him. They're gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And I got to tell you, if it wouldn't look weird, I would be interested in bidding on them just because they look cool. I have no need for them for a game, but they look really nice. So I suggest people go and check them out. We'll have links in the show notes for both of those. And there's going to be more auctions coming up as well. And then people should make sure they check out the episode guide, because we talk about new things that are going to be coming up. So I can tell people, because I'm looking it up as we are recording, because that's super professional of me. When you would think I would have known it already. I can tell you the next episode comes out November 21st. And in that episode, it's going to be the holiday gift guide episode. And then December 5th is the last new episode of the year, where we talk about what actually happened at the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon. And then there'll be a couple best of episodes before we start our 2017 season. So the year is winding down. It's very cool, though. It's winding down. And episode guide is great because not only does it tell you these things, but it also lets you know, like, just general ideas about stuff. So I may not actually have a show topic lined up, but I might have a guest or someone who I want to get on, or a general idea for an episode. And I plug that in, and it lets you know when the episodes are coming out. So we have that. And then, Mike, we have your convention schedule, too. So you're going to be at, what, Carnage coming up soon, right?
Next Friday.
And then EllisCon 26, if my reading of Roman numerals is correct.
I think that's the 19th. I'm actually missing out on a private game, but I already committed to go to the EllisCon, and I'm looking forward to it.
EllisCon sounds good.
I'll get that private game.
You will, huh? That's right. Well, take some pictures, because I want to see them.
Will do, Mike.
And then for people who want to keep up to date with what's going on, Adam, how can they keep up to date with you?
Well, I don't have a official schedule, but any games I'm involved in or painting I do gets posted at fencingfrog.blogspot.com. There's also a Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/fencingfrog.com as well. So those are two spots. And if you're interested in reenacting and want that schedule, that is my regiment is Saint Ange. So it's saintange.org. That's saint, as you would expect to be spelled, and then ONGE.org is the website for them as well.
We'll blame the cold medicine for that.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see that last one you did.
And of course, you're going to be at, this is moving into 2017, but you're going to be at Total Con, right? You'll be at Huzzah, you'll be at Havoc. And you'll probably be...
Havoc I'll get as a player, at least. I don't know if I'm running anything yet. I do plan on running Frostgrave in your TSR room for Total Con. And if they get back to us, we'd also like to put on the 1704 Deerfield game on Saturday. But we haven't heard whether or not that's confirmed yet at the moment.
I think what they do is they have the submission period open, and they get all the submissions. And then a little bit after it closes, that's when they release what is going where and all that kind of stuff. Right. So I honestly don't know when submissions close for the events. I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, Dave and I have put that one in. We haven't heard yet. So that's all I'm saying. So we are planning to do it, but it might not happen. We'll see. Well,
you're one step ahead of me, I'll tell you, because I still haven't submitted my events, which I got to give to I got to give it to my buddy who's in charge of the TSR room. Like, I'm guaranteed the space is just that I haven't actually put them in. And then I think I have something that's not going to fit in the room, so I got to do it in the normal convention space. So I got to give it to the con people for that as well. And they know I'm going to do something, they just don't know what. So I know I'll have the space for that too. But it's just, I really have to do it and not just say I'm going to do it. But then I presume you'll be at the Hobby Bunker game day as well, even if you're not running something, maybe as just a player.
Yeah, it didn't work out this year, but we'll see. It depends on what day they pick that for. Sometimes there's a conflict. So
yeah,
it's hard.
That's the same with me. I plan on going, but you never know.
I always plan on going.
Sure.
I plan on
doing anything that has to do with games, but sometimes you actually have to do something else. I can't imagine what it could be. Will come up.
I tell you, all kidding aside, I actually do really, really, really want to go to Fort Devens Museum Game Day. I wanted to go this year, and just by the time I found out in the scheduling, it's hard. My wife works every other Saturday, and then the Saturday she doesn't, I'm doing this with other people who are as cool as you, and we get to talk about fun stuff, but it doesn't allow me to actually go anywhere, so to speak. So it makes it tricky. But we have for this episode, unless anyone wants to add anything extra, get anything, guys?
Well, see you at Carnage.
One thing I'd like just to throw out is there is a great group of guys meeting in Amherst, New Hampshire at the Relentless Dragon. So that's on Thursdays for gaming. We'd love to have more players if anybody wants to drop by.
Yeah, it's a nice place to play. I plan on getting there whenever I can.
Cool. Well, everyone, that is this episode of Wargaming Recon. Don't forget, we talked about a lot. I don't expect you to remember it all. That's okay. We have the show notes. You can get to those by going to wargamingrecon.com/WR171. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR171. Adam, thank you so much for taking the time to join us for this episode of Wargaming Recon. It was a blast having you on. I hope you had a good time as well.
I did, and look forward to doing it again sometime.
And Mike, it is always a pleasure having you on as my co-host. I know you. I think this is your last episode for the year, actually.
I guess, yeah, because I'm not going to do the, what was the one you're doing next? The toy thing.
Well, you mean the annual holiday gift guide that we do? That's a long-standing tradition?
That's exactly. Didn't I say that? That's exactly what I meant.
That's what I thought you meant. Yeah.
Of course, that's what I meant.
Toy thing, gift guide, same
thing. Exactly. It's all the same to me.
The scheduling gets
we'll
wonky.
We'll play the cold medicine.
Yeah, I just want toys.
Me too.
Yeah.
I get told I can't buy as many toys as I want anymore. I don't know why that is, but
I don't
want
to hear that. You know, when I open up a package that's got socks on it, I'm not going to be happy.
Well, thank you, everyone. And thank you, everyone who's taken the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. So remember, no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, you know that you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network.
This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.